Hello everyone, welcome to the first episode of Raw Health Rebels new season. I am so excited for this episode on a personal level. I can't quite explain how much Emma and Eleanor from The Reconnected have helped me on my healing journey and to benefit my wider family as well. And it was an absolute honour to have them both on to talk about their work, how the mother's central nervous system is so important to the entire household, what we can do to heal, how our body remembers everything, even if consciously we don't, and how do we actually release that subconscious emotions, trauma, or even just to up-level us to the next level of well-being. How do we do that if we can't even consciously remember? And that's where the importance of breath work comes in. We talk as well about connected play and how we connect with our children, and the profound experience that I had when I did this with my daughter and actually finding a homeopathy remedy. And we also talk about just generally children these days, whether they are becoming more strong-willed or sensitive, or is there something bigger going on? Anyway, enjoy, let me know your feedback, and do make sure that you sign up to the Reconnected free kids nervous system reset, which kicks off on the 16th of October, and you'll find a link below in the show notes. Enjoy. Thank you, Eleanor and Emma, for coming on. I am so excited to have you both on a personal level. You have helped me so much. I kind of prayed for you, didn't know I was praying for you. I prayed for help with my nervous system and then saw you and saw your Reconnected course for starting the next day. And it's been utterly life-changing for me and my family, and my husband has been doing it as well. So I want to share with the world who you two are, what you do, and just let people know that there's help that they might not even know they needed is out there, because I think a lot of us parents need that. So yeah, thank you both for coming on, and we're all from all parts of the globe, so thank you.
It's such a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. Yeah,
we're so grateful to hear how much it helped you, because you know, the work is, that's really what we're about, is just having people, you know, find harmony in their life and reconnect with themselves. And it all starts with nervous system healing and becoming regulated.
It certainly does, definitely. And I can't wait to talk more about that. But before we jump into sort of the healing journey, can I ask you about both of your backgrounds and how you found each other and what's led to where you both are now?
Yeah.
Who wants to go first?
Okay, where does the story start?
Yeah. I'll go first. So I started my breathwork journey when my first son was only a year old. And I just kind of fell into breathwork and fell madly in love with it. And then I met Eleanor when I was just about to have my second child, and she was teaching a play therapy model that she was using in her play therapy practice. And when we connected, we just realized that breathwork and play therapy had this incredible synergy. And so we kind of birthed Reconnected Parenting. Eleanor came to me with the idea, and then it kind of came from there. But I have a background in breathwork and Kundalini yoga. And yeah, I homeschool my five kids. Well, I've got twin babies, but three older ones who I'm homeschooling. And yeah, just living kind of the life that I want to lead and being of service with breathwork, which has radically changed my life and put me into alignment of what I want to be doing in the world. And so I just love sharing that with other people.
It's amazing. And homeschooling three children with twins, like I homeschool my two children, but hats off to you. I don't know how you do that. It's amazing. Oh, thank you so much. Eleanor, can we hear a little bit about your background as well,
please? Yeah, for sure. Well, my name's Eleanor, and I think like a lot of people, my journey started when I had kids, my journey of deepening self-awareness, but also you know, the harsh reality of how challenging parenting is. And, you know, when I first came to breathwork, my teacher often reminds me, apparently, I don't remember this, I said, you know, I'm activated all the time. I'm just constantly activated. And I think one way that you might understand that is like, I'm dysregulated all of the time. You know, this was at the beginning of my parenting journey. And I have four children who are now aged 14 to 20. So like, it's been an incredible 20 years now of breathwork for me. And it's really just informed my life's view and gratefully my life's work after I realized just how much healing was available through the challenges of parenting. I expanded, I guess, my horizons. I studied to be a breathwork practitioner. I studied counseling, psychology, child-centered play therapy. I worked for years as a family counselor and also as a play therapist, supporting kids who experience neglect and trauma. And so I got a really, I guess, profound experience that, you know, even in circumstances where we might feel like there's a lot of work to do, there are very simple, profound ways of being with ourselves and each other through the breath, through presence, that can really deeply unwind. And when Emma and I met and we shared this love of breath work, but also kind of all things conscious living, conscious parenting, and I guess just the opportunity that life presents us to grow and expand constantly when we're a parent, that's how Reconnected was born. And it's been an incredible 4 years. I can assure you the world is like ready for this information. And I love connecting with you, Lisa, and your enthusiasm is so tangible. And I think it's like the world is ready for this work and thirsty for this work and the effortlessness and the simplicity and the, you know, it's so grounded and practical and can be applied in our busy lives as families, but it really can change everything. So it's great to be here talking about it. I can't wait to get to know you and your listeners better over this chat.
Oh, thank you so much. And it's so, the world is thirsty. It's so needed right now. And even if you're busy, you can do it. You know, I was, the way that you've set it up, I was listening to some of it while I was doing my, you know, supermarket shopping. My husband was doing it on his commute to London on the train. And it's so profound. I was looking back in preparation for this. I was actually looking back at my journal and some of the dreams and meditations and what came up after. And it was such deep, deep stuff that came out, but equally very simple to do the work. It was, yeah, it's amazing. And I guess I want to actually touch on, why is it that the mother's or not even just the mother's, parents' nervous systems do seem to need healing so much at the moment? You know, why are we more aware of it? Is there more trauma going on? What's the importance of that? Do you have sort of an overview of why you feel the world is ready and needs this right now?
Well, I'd personally share that, like, yes, the world is much more ready for it. Parents are much more open to the idea that their children are here to give them wisdom and teach them and help them become a better person. You know, we've really moved out of that old paradigm way of children are just blank slates who, you know, should be seen and not heard. Is that what it is? Seen and not heard? Mm. Yeah. And so we've really moved into this place now where we really want our children to be living, you know, their most authentic expression of themselves and not suppress their feelings and be in touch with, you know, really who they are. And, you know, that can really trigger parts of ourselves that were not seen and were not heard when we were children. And then you apply kind of our own childhood and life traumatic experiences all the way up until we become parents. And then you overload us with the schedule of parenting, the pressure of parenting, the financial part of parenting, all of the work, you know, all of that leads to a lot of dysregulation. So there's a lot of different, it's very unique for every person, but people are just way more open now to the idea that life can be different and that they don't need to be at the whim of feeling super stressed, feeling financially, you know, capped, not doing the job that they love doing and not being the parent that they really want to be, you know. So people are much more open to that concept and seeking it out, really.
It's an exciting time in some ways. We're on the cusp of a big change, aren't we?
Big time. And you know what we've found? Like, it always sounds a bit strange, but 20 years ago, you had to really seek out information about self-awareness. Like, and so we've noticed that parents today have access to heaps of information and often really get at an intellectual level that they're triggered, that they're dysregulated, that there's something going on, but then don't have the tools to actually do something about it. So there's this kind of modern day challenge, I think, of having all of this intellectual self-awareness that hasn't quite landed in your nervous system doesn't actually make it easier or possible for you to do things differently. But also this, you know, we're living, I think, with a lot more shoulds than ever before, because we're surrounded by this projection on social media about what this kind of idealistic, you know, version of parenting is. So I think parents today are kind of sandwiched between this, and it is really stressful living up to our own ideal, the ideals that we see around us, knowing all of the things and just not being able to do it differently in the moment when you're actually losing your cool with your kid or feel exhausted and compassion fatigued and burnt out and like you can't get off the couch to get another sandwich. You know, it's like all well and good in theory, but in the practice it's very challenging. And, you know, in play therapy we have a saying, you know, we never look at a child in isolation from their family and especially from their parents and especially from their mother. And, you know, we are in so many ways so much more connected to each other than we realize. I think it was, I can never remember who it was, but I heard someone say once that interconnectedness is the last frontier of human science. You know, it's like we think it's about the unit, the galaxies and stuff, and it's not. It's like the more and more we learn about how connected we are is where like our real learning edge is. And I think we're experiencing that at the Reconnected because we're full of this community of incredible people who want to embody and understand and really step consciously into this connectedness with their child and with life and with, you know, what is meaningful for them. And so we can't separate parents from children. Our nervous systems are just interlinked. And I think we know this as a mom. Like you only have to know, like your baby doesn't even have to cry and you're looking over to them. You know, like we're connected beyond what we could possibly think. And our culture actually, in a lot of ways, conditions that connection out of us for almost through no fault of its own, you know, but it's like there's just so many things that disrupt the connection between a parent and their child. Our busy lifestyle, like the birth system, you know, health, first few years, the pressure that parents experience, the way that family systems are set up, the way that it's just normalized that peers would come together more than their children, than kids would with their parents. Like it's just nonstop. So we're up against a lot, and things that should, quote unquote, come naturally to us are actually eroded. And it's not so much like under attack, but it's like we're up against something to have what we know is possible for us with our families. And I think we all feel that as parents now. It's like no matter what we do, it's not going the way we envisaged it. You know, no matter what we do, it's like it feels like we're up against something. And I think one of the most reassuring things for parents to know is like, yeah, you are, but there's a lot that we can do about that.
Totally. And you know, I love your honesty as well, you know, with the whole parenting can be very triggering at times. You know, I thought, God, like I've never been so triggered in my entire life when I have
nothing
children.
But triggers some days, isn't it?
No, we have a saying that we're saying, like, if you know, if your kids haven't brought you to your knees, like, are you really parenting? Because, you know, I got this projection a lot with my own social media account that people would think that I had this really easy time with my kids and that it was always gentle parenting. And it's like, no, it is, you know, when I pointed them towards my work at the Reconnected, I was like, look at what we're sharing, you know, they really stretch us to be a better person than we, you know, were. They stretch us mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, you know, they tap into aspects of ourselves from our own childhood that experienced pain and disconnection, you know, so it's massive, but it's a massive job. And, you know, our community that are at the Reconnected really just want to do it consciously. You know, they want to they really want to live up to the parent that they wanted to be, and they want to create the life with their kids that they know is possible. Mm-hmm. And there is a real choice there, you know, you can choose to do that.
Yeah, no, sure. And also for, I think, for a lot of parents as well, and people that are listening that may have children as well with health issues, where I've certainly been in that situation, I think as well as a mother, you can spend so long trying to fix your child or focus on what their needs are to heal them, that actually, you know, one thing I realized is how I'd neglected to heal myself, and how the ethos of what you teach is actually our whole nervous systems are interconnected, and we have to look after ourselves first. The healing that we do will help our children as well. How important that is.
One of my favorite things that parents start to say, I'm just going to say it's usually mums, but there's this point during some of our programs, like the 21-day nervous system reset, for example, partway through, there's always a point where the husband starts saying, like, complimenting, like, what they're seeing in their partner, the change that they're seeing. There's always this kind of wave of husband appreciation that comes in. And then as well, the beautiful thing is the amazement for parents when they do their own work and then their kids just shift. Like, our kids are so open and so flexible within their nervous system that when we make even the smallest move towards being more self-connected, our kids just absolutely follow suit. You know, it feels miraculous, because our minds, we're not changing at the level of our mind, we're changing at the level of our nervous system. And so our mind actually has to catch up about it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, what even is happening here? This isn't logical. It's like, well, we're communicating constantly body to body, you know, like way deeper. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what you're saying, doesn't matter what you think you're putting out there. It's like your nervous system is communicating directly to everyone around you at all times, broadcasting the actual truth. And when we can get in touch with that and, you know, release, you know, come back into what feels aligned and, I guess, in value, like aligned with our kind of values, that who we want to be piece, it's incredible watching what happens for other people. I'm sure you would have experienced it, Lisa.
Oh, definitely. It has been amazing. And actually, one of the things sort of leading to what you were just saying about how the body, like, trauma is stored in our bodies, not just our minds. And I think that's where, in my experience, talk therapy can have its limitations, because if something is subconscious, how do you even know to talk about it? That's what I love about your work. So can you explain sort of actually what people can do to actually heal themselves, where you can't remember necessarily the trauma that's trapped in your body, or, you know, why your nervous system is dysregulated?
Yeah. And so, you know, what in reality, you know, our breath and our nervous system are intrinsically interlinked. And, you know, most people today have inhibitions in their breathing mechanism, and it's mirrored in an inflexibility in their nervous system as well. And that is mirrored in limited range of positivity in our thinking, limited range of emotions. It's like when we get stunted, or we get flat, or we get kind of stuck in this narrow band of experience that feels flat, lethargic, frustrating, annoying, you know, negative minded. And, you know, we can do a lot of practices. Like most people nowadays will know some kind of simple breath tool to help them to change how they feel in the moment. You know, like if I breathe deeper, you know, it's going to get me through this wave of anger, you know. But what people don't realize is that our nervous system holds the stored stresses, the signature of everything that we've experienced from conception to this moment, good, bad, you know, everything. It actually holds our self-concept, our self-perception, you know, everything. And so we can use our breath to also tap into the layers that are held there. And essentially what we do is we create, I guess, one way of saying it is more flexibility within the nervous system, more tone within the nervous system. So we are free to feel our feelings, but we can ground down and we can come back to ourselves afterwards. There's, instead of there being layers of I can't feel, or, you know, this explosive anger, we're able to just be with ourselves as we go out of states of regulation into states of dysregulation, which is not actually a negative thing. It's just when that dysregulation is not felt, not experienced, that it becomes suppressed and stuck and trapped in our bodies. And so, you know, what people may not realize is that there are ways of using the breath to heal and tone our nervous system so that we, our emotions, our mind follow suit, and life can become honestly a completely different picture, you know, with relative ease, considering. Yeah. Someone contacted us just a couple of days ago and said, you know, my therapist is mind blown. I've done 3 years of therapy and I've come further in this 2.5 weeks of this program than I have in the 3 years prior. And that happens because you can't talk your way to these layers. You actually can't. There actually is no other way to get into that level of, you know, actually having an intimate conversation with your nervous system is just so key.
That's my experience of the talk therapy in my own personal journey with breath work, because I spent many years when I was younger in talk therapy, and I would talk my way around every scenario into just generally making things up so that I could just keep going with the session. And I never really got to the actual core of what I had experienced. And then I walked into my breath work training and I did 1 week of breath work, and I made a touchstone to so much that had happened within my own childhood that I needed to be resolved around. But it was a fully intimate conversation with myself. I didn't even have to speak these things out loud. And I that's what just blew me away and made me fall in love with breathwork, because I was like, I just cannot believe that I was unconscious to all of this. You know, I'd never experienced being able to even consciously speak this stuff out, you know? So it's so powerful what you can experience in a breathwork session. And even on the flip side of not just working with the trauma, it's actually hyper creative. So, you know, we can live a lot more consciously by using our breath, you know, where it puts us in touch with the truth of who we really are. And we can create our life by coming back to our breath and being with our breath and being in a breath practice, you know, because we get the prompts within our own sessions that we, you know, things we need to do, conversations we need to have, places we need to go, you know, so it's not just about getting into that stored stress. It can become hyper creative and just a really conscious way of getting into the driver's seat of life. And instead of having life happen to you, you start creating and having the experiences you really want to have.
Yeah. I love that. So it's one a constant things. Life journey.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I think, and it's not to kind of put down talk therapy, but one of the other things that was shared with us recently was this idea that even the concept of, that you might be able to resolve the things that have happened to you, you know, that you might actually be able to integrate and land in a place where you are free, truly free to choose your response in the moment, no longer impacted by the things that have happened to you in the past, you know, that that concept isn't necessarily in some mainstream spaces where we are actually doing a lot of managing coping mechanisms around to kind of, oh, it's like, it's funny. It's, I don't want to use the term band-aid because it's not even like that. It's a bit like, you know, you've got your issues and then you've got your ways of dealing with them, but the issues themselves are always going to be there, you know? And
that's not the perspective of the reconnected at all. Yeah. We really see pain as being able to become one of your superpowers in the sense that it becomes fully integrated and you come into a state of wholeness where we have such an interesting, you know, we didn't expect this when we first started our program, Reconnected Parenting, but we would have parents go through and they'd be in a lot of pain around, you know, their child, their relationship with their child, maybe their relationship with their partner, their living circumstance. And they'd have this kind of, you know, experience where they move through the work and they do the breathwork practices and they do the play therapy. And then they'd be like, okay, well, life is actually really sweet and, you know, everything is awesome. What now? And then that's when they start to step into this really creative space with the breath. So, you know, I've seen just over the years, I have just honestly seen miraculous levels of integration through breath work. Things that, you know, people who have had physical pain, like, you know, lifelong physical pain becoming resolved, people who have emotional issues with family members becoming completely resolved. Not even a part of their life anymore, just a story that they're able to share with people as a way for them to be inspired. So, because I came from their perspective before I started my breathwork journey, you know, I was told when I was younger, you've got anxiety and you'll just have it for the rest of your life. And so that just, you know, was a mind frame that I was in. And then when I went into my breathwork journey and experienced this and then have experienced so many others, you know, I just know that to just not even be slightly true. That's not even a part of my world anymore. I know that you can integrate so much and come into a full place of integration and wholeness and have a totally new lease on life in so many ways.
Yeah, and I vouch for that too. It's remarkable. And I still, and the evolution is such an important point. So I was looking back at my journal, like I said yesterday, and I was like, the intentions that I set, I was like, wow, you've met all of these. You need to like up level your intentions.
That's what happens. Honestly. And it's like if when we catch up with people like 6 months after the program and experience just how much they're thriving, it's like the full surviving to thriving journey, you know, and we hadn't kind of coined that phrase until we just started seeing where people were like 6 months down the track. And, you know, it's just remarkable. And the amazing bit is, you know, we can teach by example and support people's journey, but it's a completely self-generated process that the individual themselves embarks on and is completely in charge of it at all times. Like, you know, we're so, you know, our system, our psyche, our body, is so wise and has so much innate wisdom. And I reckon that if people really realized that all they had to do is to make space for it, and that things would improve for them, and that they have everything within them that they need to go where they want to go, you know, it's really, it is amazing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so true. And I think wherever our backgrounds are, like as a homeopath, I always say, you know, our body knows how to self-heal. Like, but we just don't, we bombard it and overwhelm it. But it's, that's this busy culture that we live in, allowing that space. I wanted, if it's okay, to move on actually to talk a bit about that therapy aspect with the children and the connected play as well, because that I had an unbelievable experience with where one of my daughters, I did the connected play session with her.
Yeah.
I could not believe how I felt after the session. I won't go into too much detail because she's older, she doesn't like me, but yes. I couldn't get over how it made me feel, like on an emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized that, I actually recognized that emotion from a homeopathic perspective. I knew what remedy state that I'd stepped into. I was like, my God, I am, and this is the power of someone's combining the different modalities. I was like, I have stepped in to a completely Staphylococcus aureus state. And I was like, that is, she's reflecting to me, that's what remedy she needs. And it was suddenly really obvious because she also had a sty on her eye, and Staphylococcus aureus is one of the key remedies we think of for styes. And I was like, this is so obvious, right? She needs Staphylococcus aureus. So I gave it to her. I actually gave the remedy to her as well as doing the connected play. And it was, for her, the healing she had from that remedy. But I never would have got to that without the connected play session. It was so fascinating, and to feel like, and it made sense because it related back to the birth that I'd had with her. So I could tie it back much deeper. But I was like, my goodness, you know, it was so deep, so powerful. And I think, like, when you can combine it as well with other, you know, if there is other stuff as well, it was just fantastic. So can you talk a bit more about how we can help our children with the connected play and what it is?
Can I share? I'm going to pass it to Eleanor because she is
so beautiful.
Yeah. So I'll pass it to Eleanor because she is the master of connected play. But my personal experience was, before I had my second child, I knew I wanted to. I'd heard so much of this story that, you know, siblings fight, siblings don't get along, all the things. And I knew I just wanted to be there for my first son. He'd had 2 years of his life with us. He was the only thing, you know, that was right there. And I felt so blessed when Eleanor reached out to me and a couple of my friends. We had kids around the same age. And she said, I'd love to teach you this play therapy model. I use it in my play therapy studio. And I'd love to teach it to you. And me and my friends went there and we were just so mind blown that there was a way to connect with our children through play. And I'd never even thought about it before because it wasn't within my realm of awareness or perspective. Because I remember very clearly when my firstborn was in a park and he was 2 years old and he was this angelic little being. And I saw these other two older kids and they were playing guns. And I was just like, oh my goodness, there must be something going on there. You know, like I just had this full judgment around what toys and play and, you know, I was like, rough play is dangerous and they should just be playing with felt little, you know, bunnies. And I just had a really different perspective of it. And I ended up learning the connected play. Me and my friends would, you know, chat about it a lot and how we'd be using it with our kids. And then I had my second born child. And it was just such a tangible experience. The day that my son woke up with a new baby in the bed, he just looked at the baby and you could just see his whole kind of being just dropped because he was like, what the heck is that? Like he just saw this little baby and he was just like, whoa, that wasn't what I was expecting. Because we'd been saying, you're going to have a little baby. It's going to be, I think he thought it was like a little plaything that would be. And he just like looked at him and was like, oh my goodness. And then we ended up having like a huge meltdown from him. Massive. And I was so grateful in that moment because I had the awareness of connected play and I was able to hold a space for him and integrate this experience with him through play. And I've seen the fruits of just that one moment for 9 years now with two brothers who are thick as anything, super close. And I just knew, I was like, why don't parents know this? Why is it left for a play therapist's office? I just couldn't understand it. So when Eleanor came with the idea for reconnected parenting, I knew, I was like, this is where we've got to go. Yeah.
Oh, I've got tingles. Yeah, it really is. It really, really is.
Mm.
Yeah.
I loved, Lisa, your story, honestly. Like your attunement with your daughter is profound. So I'm going to try and explain connected play without crying about it because it's just so beautiful. It's exactly the kind of moment that we want to have happening out there because it's at the deepest level of understanding then that a child can actually experience beyond what we can really fathom, because I can say with almost certainty that barely anyone is getting this level of understanding in their family relationships, like, you know. And for you to be able to have this opportunity to empathize and understand that she's feeling like disgust, you know, that's like, mm-hmm. that's the stuff we never talk about in therapy, right? Like we never mm-hmm. talk about that, you know, mm-hmm. and we never get to like the felt sense of it. And to have someone who's like there with you, getting it, like, whoa, I get it, you know, at a really deep level. I mean, it's profound. And the thing is, we all have these feelings, like we all have them there, but from the vast majority, they're like fully suppressed, repressed, pushed down, hidden away underneath all sorts of layers of defense, you know, right? Like, fair enough, because we needed to cope at the time. But what connected play does is it shows parents how, like, the simplest way to describe it is it shows parents how children communicate through play. But because children actually don't process through talking, they are being doing, you know, creatures, so to speak, and their behavior is, and play is their language for expressing what's happening for them. And they do try and resolve their upsets through play. And most parents do get this, you know, we can see when our kids experience something that often a few days later they're playing it out. Like if there's a new baby and mom's breastfeeding, the toddlers are all like breastfeeding their dollies, for example. It's like we know that they use play to understand their world and express themselves. But the magic of connected play and also with breathwork is this deep level of self-attunement from the parent that does give the parent this container within themselves of feeling absolutely safe to feel whatever happens for them on a personal level, which then creates for children the same container because they are held within our nervous system. And when we can set aside time for our kids to be with us, where we communicate to them, every single part of you is welcome here, even those parts that you've denied, suppressed, avoided, don't want to tell anyone about, like that's all welcome here and I'm here for it. And then, you know, we obviously there's a pretty big model around it, exactly what to do, say, exact, etc. But at the essence of it is this incredible deep attunement and understanding between the parent and the child. And I think when we start doing, you know, our own nervous system work, we realize that all we ever needed was for someone to be there for us in the difficulty. We actually don't need people to fix it. We just need someone there with us. And so what we're doing in connected play is we're offering this space for our kids. We're saying, when we get that there's a backlog of experiences, you know, We get that there's a, you've gone through things, and here's a space and time where I'm going to be with you. I know how to communicate with you through play. Let's just quote unquote talk about what's been going on. And we give our children an opportunity to have, to show and tell us about the places where they have, they didn't have anyone with, there with them. And, you know, it's, I guess, like our lofty goal is, you know, raising kids who don't have to recover from their childhood, and raising kids who are self-connected and who have someone there with them. And, you know, my years of therapy, you know, one of the most moving stories I heard was an adult who came to therapy as an adult, and he could remember as a child, and he lived in foster care and was in and out of home, didn't have a primary carer for most of his life. And he could remember, like, what he thinks was one singular therapy session where someone actually witnessed something that was true for him. And that was one time. And so the parents that reconnected, like, and he it was tangible for him as an adult, you know? And the research into resilience shows that what children need is one person to see them. Isn't that amazing? And the parents that reconnected are absolutely blowing it out of the water on the level of showing up for their kids, doing the work, like really being there at a deep level for their children. And I'm excited about, like, the ripple effects, really. But our intention is for there to be a really big ripple from this work. And it's not complex, but it can be challenging to show up for, because, like, Lisa, requires you to be like, wow, I can feel safe with that feeling, you know? It's not going to trigger every time I felt the same thing and already tried to suppress and deny that, you know? It's like, no, I can be here with that. And so it, you know, I think it's just magic, really.
What you two are doing is amazing, and it is a huge ripple effect. And it's funny, when I was looking back at my journey as well, I was like, we need this generation of children to not need to recover from their childhoods, because look at the world that they're inheriting going into, and yeah, what a kind of shit show it is out there. I mean, it's beautiful as well, but they don't have time to do all of this that we need to do. They've got to be fixing bigger things, I think, haven't they? The world.
Well, and they need a robust, they're gonna need a robust nervous system. Like, they're gonna have to have, you know, the space within their nervous system to be with all the big stuff, all the change.
Sure. And actually, what I wanted to ask you both, with the kids these days, do you feel like they are more strong-willed or sensitive, or are we more aware of it? Because
it's funny, because I was just going to say, but I felt like I can feel where the conversation's going, because I was going to say, the funny thing is, like, these kids just are very robust and are just doing it their way. And I think actually it's the parents, you know, it's us, it's our generation, actually, that has got a lot of opportunity thanks to the beings that are coming in, you know, because, you know, I think, well, you know, I kind of guess I haven't been around long enough to say, you know, my parents say I was strong-willed, for example, you know what I mean? Like, I think all parents at different times in their life feel like their child is strong-willed, but I think one thing that is really changing is that there are a lot of kids now who, for whom the normal, quote unquote normal, old kind of ways of parenting just literally do not work. And if you've got kids who do step outside the norm, like, I can remember watching a friend of mine whose child was having a little tantrum about something. So they were going to the car. She didn't want to go, or she didn't want the biscuit. I can't remember. But she, like, said it once, and then that was just it. And they were just off. And I was like, what even is that? You know, because, I mean, my eldest daughter was extremely strong-willed, and I can tell you, like, you know, requests you know, empathy, even then when I start losing it, punishments, demands, raising voices, pleading, I mean, you know, threats, rewards, all of these things, you know, there's actually quite a few kids where none of that will work. And funnily enough, what they're demanding from us is deeper and deeper levels of authenticity and deeper levels of communication that is honest and real and integrated. So it's like, you know, my strong-willed child is a dream when I'm saying what I mean and feeling comfortable within myself. But if I'm off, or if I'm triggered, or if I'm, you know, feeling like I'm angry with them, but I'm inside, but using a calm voice on the outside, you know, then they're not having a bar of it. They're these, you know, they're like little lie detectors, and they know where you're coming from. And if you're not coming from a place of integrated authenticity, it's very challenging. And for some kids who are, you know, really strong-willed, it's intolerable. And those kids and those parents get slammed with judgment, feeling of like guilt, like they're not doing it right, like there's something wrong with them, like there's something wrong with their kid. And it is a bit of a phenomenon, I think, these days. So we have a lot of love for the strong-willed kids. I have so much gratitude to my strong-willed kids, even though as adults they still continue to push me to grow, because I know I wouldn't be here with them, and I wouldn't have the level of self-awareness or integration if I had just had my two easygoing kids. And I will say, two strong-willed, two easygoing, it means I know it's not just me. It's like a complex dynamic, you know? It's a complex dynamic, but they're such gifts and such initiators of, you know, deep personal growth. And I think you have to have one to know one, really, like to really know what it requires of you.
Yeah, I relate to that so much. I remember when we had our non-strong-willed child, and me and my husband, we just said, you know, she wanted something. We were like, no. And she did it. Like, she just did what we said. And we were like, oh my God, she's not.
Yeah. Right. And you're like, what is this? And it makes no sense. And I know.
And then alternatively, there's the sensitive kids, and I, you know, we can see how over the years they haven't really been seen for the strength that they are in society. You know, they are so deeply intuitive, and you know, their sensitivity is so needed in the world, and it's such a honor to have these like sensitive kids and to be able to hold them through that and give them the tools in which they can really be with their sensitivity and become masters of it, instead of, you know, being kind of taken out by society under a lot of pressure, needing to, like, you know, become, you know, stronger or whatever it is, you know, a lot of the conditioning that gets put on sensitive people. And so it's really, you know, we love working with the sensitive kids as well, because it's so incredible to see a sensitive child who isn't having an easy time in the world be able to master themselves and be in that sensitivity and that, and find the strength within that. And I, you know, a lot of that is with the parents, because you can worry when you've got a sensitive kid. You know, it's hard to drop them off places. It's hard to do things. They're not as robust as strong-willed kids. You know, they don't, it's just such a flip dynamic. It's like, you know, there's a lot more anxiousness and, you know, even food intolerances and sensitivity to environment and all these things. And it can be quite consuming on the parent. So working with these families, it's so beautiful to see them really harness the gifts that this sensitivity can bring them when they are integrated and used in a way in which, you know, they're feeling empowered by who they really are and not needing to toughen up sensitivity, you know, actually
actually just becoming more attuned to the truth of who they really are.
And I think it's a real relief for parents when they realize, or when they have this kind of permission, which it's funny how we need this explicit permission to trust who our kids are and then support them. And what happens when we trust them and follow their lead, you know, where that takes us, rather than coming from a perspective where we feel like we do have to make sure they're going to be okay, or, you know, fix or toughen up. I'm guessing you would see a lot of kids like that, Lisa, in your practice.
Yeah, and actually, even in my own home, I've got one sensitive and one strong-willed. Like, I need to do your sensitive kids course, actually. I haven't done, I thought I'd do the strong-willed because she's more likely to send me to an early grade.
I'll tell you something funny. We've always known that we would do a sensitive kids course, but do you know what happened? We did strong-willed kids like 7 times. And that's what it's like in the house with a sensitive child and a strong-willed child. Once we realized that we were literally mirroring the dynamic of the sensitive child who is always forgotten in comparison to like the louder, noisy, more dominant one, we were like, we have to get this program out. But one of the other reasons was because Emma and I are more on the level of strong-willed. My sister, Sarah, who is a naturopath, who is highly sensitive, but one of the most powerful, integrated, sensitive people I have ever experienced. We were completely guided by her in the formulating of that program. So it comes from, and I learned so much in the creation of that program. You know, I've worked with a lot of kids with anxiety. But to have her perspective on, you know, just really what it's like to be someone whose senses are quite literally finely tuned is something that, you know, for me personally, it's hard for me to relate to. And so the sensitive kids course is like a crystal in a way. It's just this, you know, it's written by sensitive people for sensitive people, you know. It's really beautiful.
That is next on my list. Can I ask, I'm really conscious of time. I know how busy you both are. I really want, if you can share what courses you have, what's coming up, because I know people are going to be interested. All your content's amazing. So if you could explain what's coming up and what you've got out there.
Probably the most exciting thing that we have coming up is a program that we've run, oh my goodness, is it 3 times now? And it's called the Kids Nervous System Reset. And just recently we finished that Nervous System Reset for Parents, and we've been doing a lot of breath work. And usually during that program, parents start saying, okay, I'm hooked. I'm a different person. I'm regulated for the first time. I'm finding space. I know I can respond differently. How can I do this for my children? And so the Kids Nervous System Reset was born out of this. And we have actually changed the way that we're delivering this content. It's all new content this time around. So it goes live on the 16th of October. And it's a place, I guess, to understand at a deeper level our nervous system, our children's nervous system, the way that they interact and kind of understand that deeper nervous system co-regulation that you spoke about with your daughter. You know, in that moment of deep understanding, just really giving a picture of that. And during the week over the Kids Nervous System Reset, we will open the doors for Reconnected Parenting, which is our, you know, huge love. You know, it's an incredible mix of breath work and reparenting practices for parents and connected play for the kids. And, you know, the Reconnected community, I mean, you're a part of it, Lisa. It's a vibrant, buzzing, loving space. We love to say, you know, we've never had to moderate an unkind comment. We have tens of thousands of people join our free programs, and the people who come are just absolutely incredible. So that all kicks off on the 16th of October, and it's completely free to join. Most people who've done it come back and do it again and again and again for a fresh perspective because their kids are a year older and they just want to top up. You know, it's incredible value. And what you'll take away is, I guess, an understanding of, well, an experience of breathwork for one. We will be doing a breathwork session, but a deeper understanding of that, I guess, whole family nervous system and the way that children communicate. And I guess also one of the key things we're going to talk about is why and how we are conditioned to shut down the play that children find most healing and how we can turn that around for our families. So we can not only do this work for ourselves, but be there for our kids and offer them, you know, that the space that we want, that we've, you know, really it's described as magical, and it really is magical.
It's amazing. Yeah. And that's for free, the one on the 16th of October.
It's nervous system reset. It's totally free. Yeah.
That's incredible. And I'll put links down in the show notes. And then Reconnected starts on the 30th of October, did you say?
I actually can't remember, and I would need my team to bump the dates. When people ask me detail, I always say I'm very much in my right brain because we spend a lot of time doing breath work, connecting, you know, right brain. And my left brain details are not quite there on that, but it's sometime soon after October the 16th, possibly about a week, I think.
I'll put a link again to that in the show notes. And then, and you offer that, is that just once a year or twice a year? I did it back in March.
We offer it most often twice a year. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I was lucky to get on then when I saw that it was starting the next day.
The timing is just so ideal. And, you know, we're really, I guess, discerning about who we and where we are busy. We always tune in about what feels right. And we were such a big yes to coming and speaking with you, Lisa. And I'm not surprised now. I'm just really grateful for how much energy you have for this work, and it's a joy to be here sharing about it, honestly.
Well, thank you so much. You know, it was amazing. Like, it just happened. It just, everyone knew a time that worked. I was like, wow, this is incredible. It was meant to be.
It was like, ask the question, 2 days later, here we are. It's amazing.
Oh, it's amazing. Thank you so much. And is there anything else that you want, how best people to get in touch with you, anything else we haven't covered that you'd like the listeners to?
I guess you could follow us at The Reconnected, but as we were saying that, as we were just kind of going over, you know, how we've just ended up doing this podcast, you know, it's a little bit like what this work is like. It just finds you. Like, if you're listening to this and you're resonating, this, it's not by accident, and it's a invitation directly to you to come and experience this for yourself. And there's a part of you that is seeking a deeper connection with yourself, and this is honestly an invitation. It never ceases to amaze me how many people will say, I can't remember how I ended up here, but I'm so grateful that I am, you know, and that I said yes, and that I signed up, and that I actually showed up, because we all sign up to all the free things, but this one I actually did. And it's like, our bodies just know. And this is the wisdom that is available to you, is this incredible synchrony with life, with other people, and with yourself, that just makes these opportunities available, and that they happen at the exact right time. So this podcast just feels like a part of it, Lisa, and I think probably born of your very genuine, beautiful desire for other people to connect with what is in this space, what's available in this space. So I'm really grateful.
Sama, thank you so much. Thank you both, to you and Emma. Emma's, her connection's gone, so she's in Thailand at the minute, and there was rain. So please say a big thank you to her as well.
It's been she'll be saying thanks to you and to everyone. Yeah, we hope to see you at the Kids Nervous System Reset too.
Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.